Bob.
Good morning, Anoik.
Sorry for the delay. Do you hear me okay, RKO?
You're doing good. I like this, Chris.
Okay. For those of you, well, for everybody, actually, I'm going to be using a page on my website. So it's www.yeshem.com/ALEF-BET.htm. So when we get to that section of today's class, if you want to open it at that time or when you hear the recording. But it's basically will be helpful in the sounds of the letters. And even Bacha is going to learn something about sounds of the letters. Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa. Gedula Chimika. Aleph Bet Yimel Yud Tav Tzadik. Havel Rinat Amcha Sagmenu Taharenu Nora. Kufrei Shayin Sin Tet Nun. Na Gibor Dor Shei Yehud Ha Kevavat Shamre Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Bar Hein Taharein Rachamei Sidkatha Tami Shamleim Betet Resh, Sadi Tav Gimel. Chasin Kadosh, Tero Tuha, Nael Adata. Tet Kuf Bet, Tet Dunayan. Yahid Geh, Laha Pene, Zokre Kiddushata Yudkimulamet Pezayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Masiakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufar, Sadi Yud Taf. The Taf that created the planet Lavana, the planet called the moon. And the Chet that created the constellation Sartan, the crab, or also called Cancer. And also, the Chet created the Hebrew month of Tammuz. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper, but I'm saying it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vayed. If we have any problems with the technical side where you guys get disconnected because my computer crashes, I know what the issue is, and it's basically bandwidth. And where I'm staying for the next week or 10 days won't have a hardwired system that would solve the problem. So if something becomes a problem, just call into the conference call. I believe everybody has the number. Hopefully it won't happen because I'm using a different Wi-Fi, so it should be strong enough. But if something happens, I'm going to continue with the conference call. I want to read a verse from the Zohar. I'm reading the Parsha of Matot, which is actually only 6 verses long.
Where is that?
It's in volume 21 of the English.
Oh, got it. All right. Go ahead. Thank you.
Verse number 2. Hadehu diktiv darashat zamer ufishtim v'ta'as Bechafetz Kapyatecha Ukti Biyadeha Tavu Mai Tavu Amar Rabbi Yehuda Tavo Dedina Tavo Barachami Amar Rabbi Yitzhak Amai Itachraya Isha Amarle Dik Lila Bedina uklila becharachame. This is the meaning of she seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands, which is a verse from Mishle, or Proverbs, chapter 1. Since wool pertains to the right and mercy and flax to the left and judgment, it is also written, did spin with their hands. What is spin? Rabbi Yehuda says they spin with judgment and they spin with mercy. That is, they interlace right and left with each other, and the judgments of the left are sweetened by the mercy of the right. Rabbi Yitzhak said, why is a woman, the Hebrew is Isha, so called, which is derived from fire, the Hebrew word Esh. He said to him, she contains judgment and mercy. She is therefore called Isha, the letters of Esh and He. Esh being judgment and He mercy. The verse is talking about how the mixing of male and female, sharing and receiving, mercy and judgment, and that the two columns constantly, the two columns constantly interact with each other, and it's from Mishle and from the Torah, this verse that it quoted. We don't read the Torah literally, so it's not talking about a woman spinning or weaving. It's talking about how we, because we are all women, we are all vessels. It's how we interlace mercy and judgment together and how we go about doing that. And that's really what this verse is talking about, and then this whole section. If you'll notice, the portion of Matot starts out talking about vows, and it goes to a discussion of the vows that says that a husband can change the vow of his wife or his daughter. And actually, there's a difference between the two. He cannot change all of the vows of his wife, only certain ones. Anything having to do with their relationship, if she vows about something, he can change that. But when it comes to his daughter, he can change any of her vows, but only from the day he finds out about it, that day he's able to change it. After that, it stands.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of what is a vow is really being explained in these six verses in the Zohar. In the Zohar. So I recommend that you do take a look at those. Does anybody have any questions to talk about the... any questions on any subject, really, before we go into the class? Okay. The last few classes, we've talked about different attributes of all of the letters. And I decided that I was going to stay maybe a little bit longer with that and talk in terms of the a couple of things that I haven't spoken about. One is that in the Torah itself, there are different size letters. They're not everywhere. There's actually 32 of them. No, that's 32 dots, I'm sorry. There are 22, well, excuse me, I want to be accurate, so I'll look it up later. There are large letters that come from the level of consciousness called Bina. There are the regular size letters that come from the level of consciousness of Zeranpin. And there are small letters that come from the level of consciousness called or referred to as Malchut. Every time we have a letter that changes from Zeranpin, it's teaching us different spiritual aspects. It's bringing certain essences to help us overcome certain things. This especially applies to the large nuns, because nun is a letter that, when we get to it, we'll understand its essence. One of its, the negative essence of the nun, and every letter has a positive and a negative essence, and both of them come from the same aspect. But the negative aspect of the nun is falling, from nafel. And in order to overcome the falling in certain words, in certain subjects, that letter nun is made by the scribe in a larger fashion. It comes from a level of consciousness of Bina, where there is no negativity. And so it gives us a vaccine against falling. That's just one example. In the parasha this past week, we had the letter of Pinchas. Well, Yud was given in a small way. The Yud was coming from Malchut, showing and giving... Pinchas can be spelled with a yud or without a yud. When it's spelled with the yud, as it was in this parasha, that yud is bringing the connection to the Creator, to the connection to the Tetragrammaton. But it needed to be on the level of Malchut, on the lower level, because it wasn't authorized by Hashem. It was done by Pinchas on his own. It's described as a zealous act. And it was the correct, righteous act for him to do. And he was rewarded with the priesthood, eternal priesthood, to such an extent that every priest in all of both temples come from Pinchas. Not from the other two, the sons of Aaron. Aaron had four sons, two died. The other two, Itamar and
Nadav.
No, Nadav and Abihu died.
Nadav?
But Itamar and Eliezer, that's what it is. Eliezer, those two were the sons of Aaron. Pinchas was born before Aaron became high priest. He was not eligible for the priesthood until he did this action. And that small yud appointed him, the phrases in this portion appointed him the priest. But all of the high priests in the temple, all of them, come from Pinchas, not from Eliezer, and not from Itamar. It's just an indication of the strength of his action that is followed throughout the generations. Other aspects of the letters. We've spoken about the crowns, the tagim. But we have a tradition, and we have lost the information. We have a tradition that every crown has a meaning. That meaning we know, and we'll talk about it as we talk about the letters. But some of the crowns on some of the letters, a total of 1,800 of them, are bent. They're not straight. Some of them have knots in them, little flags. We don't know which ones they are anymore. We've lost that information. But it is said, Bacha's holding up a gimel with three tags. And there are basically three straight lines with little dots at the top. But we have a tradition that they can be bent or have little knots in them. They're written slightly differently. And we have a tradition that Rabbi Akiva knew 500 different halachot, different laws, based on the shapes of those crowns, the shapes of those tagim. This is how much is available within the Torah. So many different levels, so many different understandings. As the Torah tells us, there are 70 understandings to the Torah. Yes, we have Bob sitting here with me.
The rabbinical laws.
Mm-hmm.
These are the laws that were all encoded.
All of the laws are encoded in the Torah, except for 7 that were added by the rabbis.
And they're encoded with these little symbols on top of the letters.
Every letter can have one tag, one crown, or three crowns, or no crowns. What the crowns are is a process of how the letter comes down through the worlds.
Question 2. Are these used in the text to supply a context for the message?
Based on which letter they come from would be part of the context. Which word it's in, where it is located, all of that is part of the context.
So if we read a sentence or a paragraph, passage, we could be referring to a few dozen rabbinical laws, right?
Yes. Ooh. Yes. I don't know if you heard all those questions, but it was essentially asking about the depths how to interpret the different tagim and what is available. But it's also available in every letter. Now, I am going to move on to the form that I spoke to you about earlier. So please, if you want to open it up, I think you'll find it beneficial to be looking at it. What you see is 5 rows of the letters in their straightforward order. Now, I know not everybody knows the letters, but each letter has a root sound. That root sound comes from the name of the letter. So the first letter, and again we read right to left. I'm sorry? Is there a question asked on the conference call?
What were you using for text on this?
It's what I'm using is on the website. You have to open up another browser, but you go to yeshem.com / Aleph Bet, ALEF-BET.HTM. Okay. The if you start with the Aleph, the letter Aleph, which is the rightmost letter on the top row, that letter is spelled when you spell out the name of a letter. In English, we spell the letter B, B-E-E. The letter D, D-E-E. The letter M, Mem, or Mem, I'm confusing the two languages, I apologize. Let's say the letter N, which is spelled N-N. There is a way to spell out the letters. So when you read a word, let's say the word Isha, which is spelled Aleph Shin He, and means woman, as we read in the Zohar. Aleph Shin He, Isha, is, we're also spelling the spelling out of those three letters. So when we say the word Isha, we are concealing in our sounds the spelled out version of those letters. In the case of the Aleph, it's spelled Aleph Lamed Pei Sofit, a final Pei. So it's Aleph Lamed Pei. In the case of a Shin, it's Shin Yud Nun Sofit, or Shin Yud Nun. The He can be spelled three different ways. It can be spelled He Yud, it can be spelled He He, and it can be spelled He Aleph. And all of these different spelling outs relate to different aspects that are being concealed within the word Isha. When you talk about what is a woman, and this is where people get very confused. What is a woman is very clear, right? Except that women are different than men. And except for all of these different attributes from the different letter spelling outs, all of that is part of what makes up a woman. Now, what this chart, the purpose of this chart is for you to start to practice the beginnings of meditative techniques using the letters. When I start to teach the Sefer Yetzirah class in a week from Monday, I will be using this to teach meditative techniques in more detail. That's not what the purpose of this class is. But I've decided that it's important that you connect to the power of the letters through their sound. So each line, you'll notice, as you go down from line 1 to 2, 3, and 4, the letters change. They look like they're the same row, except the first letter is different. And that first letter has been moved to the end of the line. First letter is Aleph, In the second row, the aleph is at the end. It starts with the bet, which is the second letter. Same thing with the third line, is in the gimel, which is the third letter. And then the aleph and the bet are at the end of the line.
It's rotating.
Because the aleph bet never ends. But it's also a way of sounding out the letters. It's a way of perceiving the letters in a unity of a circle. Now, Rabbi Ashlag is very careful to us not to use diagrams to understand the Sfirot, to understand the creative process. He is saying every time you see a diagram, you're going to be corrupted in your understanding because it's limiting you. When we talk about a letter, we're talking about the sound of the letter, the shape of the letter, and the vowel of the letter. The vowel are those little dots and lines underneath the letters or above the letters or to the side of the letters. Those dots and lines are really what give us the vowel sounds, A, E, I, O, U. There are five basic vowel signs, five basic sounds of vowels. There are actually 10 vowels. That's not what we're going through today. What we're going through is there is a root vowel based on the name of the letter. That root vowel is the vowel that is used in the name of the letter. Aleph is the patach, the T, little T, underneath the aleph. Bay, the second letter, the sound of that, is the two dots, the A-I sound, or A-Y sound. Now, I have put underneath each line the sound in the English so you can practice it. And it is something that you should practice, and I'm going to explain it to you. I'm doing the first row right now. Ah, bay, gi, da, hey, wa, za, hey, te, yo, ka, la, me, nu, sa, ah, hey, ta, ko, re, she, ta. Now, that's just to give you the basic sounds. The way I'd like you to practice this, to reach a level of practice, Abe gida he waza he te yo kala me nusa a pe tat ko reshita. And then I'd like you to get to, again using the first row, tashi re kota pe a sa nu me la ka yo te he za wa he da gi be a. And that line I was doing backwards. There is no set order to the aleph bet, and yet there is a set order to the aleph bet. And that's what I'm trying to explain to you. When you see the aleph bet in order, which is the way it's written on these sheets, that is coming from the frame of mercy. When you see the order in reverse, that is coming from the frame of judgment. If you have a word, the tetragrammaton is a perfect example. Tetragrammaton is spelled Yud Hey Vav Hey. The Creator has both aspects within itself. And it shows because it's Yud Hey, reverse order. It starts with judgment. Then it goes Hey Vav, which is the proper order. the straightforward order, which means there's now mercy. And then it goes to Vav Hey again, reverse order, back to judgment. Judgment, mercy, judgment, three columns, all built into the pattern of the Tetragrammaton. Every word has these aspects that we can start to utilize in our understanding of what the word is talking about. If you go back to the form, I've given you instructions. I've only given you five rows, but I've given you instructions.
They're all rotated, right?
Yes. I've given you instructions on how to read this, how to practice it. And it is something you should do before you go to sleep, before you say the nighttime Shema. If you do, the more you practice, the better you get to it. And even if you are a Hebrew-speaking first language person, you were born in Israel, you were raised with Hebrew as your first language, you're going to see it read differently. Number one, the sounds that I've given you are the sounds that we, to our best of our academic knowledge, are the sounds that were originally used by those letters. And then I also ask you to practice with the alternative sounds. Because as we know, seven of the letters have two sounds. And we need to be able to move back and forth because the different sounds is relating to a different sephirah. It's relating to a different essence. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes, I do. What is the chief objective of rotating the alphabet, one character?
The chief objective is practice, recognizing the unity of all, but that it doesn't end, it's a circle.
Are we supposed to sense different energies from it?
You will when you say the sounds, you'll sense different energies. Okay, let's talk about the Aleph. Bacha, you want to hold up the Aleph, and the rest of us on the telephone conference can be looking at the Aleph shape?
Sure.
The Aleph, you'll notice that you have a diagonal line and a Vav or a Yud on the right coming down, and a Vav or a Yud on the left going up. The numerical value of the Aleph is 1. The word Aleph can mean the letter. It can mean 1,000.
1,000.
It can mean teacher.
What?
Teacher.
Teacher, oh.
All of that from the word Aleph. Aleph, Lamed, Peh.
Question.
Yes, the question.
From that one character, that one letter, how many other meanings could it have? You expressed one, teacher. Are there a long list
no.
of possibilities?
I expressed two. I expressed three, actually. I expressed that there were three meanings. One is that it could be the letter itself.
Well, that's what I meant. Right.
The second is it could be the number 1,000.
You're not talking about the gematria.
No, this is not gematria. It's the word 1,000.
Right, I heard that.
As a number can be written as an Aleph just
okay.
by itself.
But the teacher... Is not a number, right?
No, it's a different word.
It has a whole meaning to it.
Yes.
A whole teaching about what it is to be a teacher.
Yes.
Are there other words like teacher?
Yes.
Associated with that one?
There are many words. Every word that begins with an olive has a relationship to the olive. Every word that ends with an olive has a relationship to the olive. Every word that has an olive somewhere in the middle of the word.
Why did you then only talk about teacher?
Because we only have time to do what the beginning. As you learn more, it's just too overwhelming for people to understand all of it at one time.
Overwhelming.
No. Another question on the olive. Isn't that ambiguous? A yud or a nun?
No, it's never. It's not a nun. It can be a yud. And I wish to point out, if you look at the or a vav.
Or a vav.
If you look at the shape.
Okay.
Give me a second, Joe. If you look at the shape, it's made up of two yuds and a vav. The diagonal line is considered a vav. The up and down lines are considered yuds. The gematria of the yud is 10. The gematria of the vav is 6. The aleph is concealed in the aleph is the creator. 10 plus 10 plus 6 is 26, which is the gematria of the tetragrammaton. It's all concealed in the shape of the letter. When your soul sees an aleph in a word, it knows the creator's there. Because your soul is not limited to one level at a time. Your intuitive self is able to connect to many different levels. The more you practice, the more levels you can connect with. The aleph, by its shape, is telling you it's the creator. Now let's look at another aspect of what it's telling us. It's describing the third verse or fourth verse of the Torah, where it talks about the firmament and the waters being split to waters above and waters below. The waters above is the yud that is going upwards. The waters below, the yud that's going down. The firmament is expressed by the diagonal line. But it's actually expressed as two firmaments. If you look at the thickness of the diagonal, when in the printed form and on the Asherit font or script that's in the Torah, that diagonal line is a double wide. And the reason that it's a double wide is it's talking about two different firmaments, which is also built into the story of creation. Now there are no tagim, there are no crowns in the aleph. That indicates that there's been no process as the aleph came down to our level. The aleph let's start looking at some at the aleph has the meaning of unity. Its essence is that of unity. Why can it mean 1,000 if it means unity? Because 1,000 represents the concept of unity on a larger level. What is wrong? What is negative about unity? Anybody want to answer?
There is no negativity.
Well, there is something. I can come up with one idea. And that is that if I was in complete unity with everyone in the universe, I would have no opportunity for individuality, which I need to understand all of my things. It's at my own personal context to sort out my problems and my growth.
Everybody is striving for unity. Love is a form of unity. But can everybody be exactly the same? No. We are unique individuals. The problem with unity is there's not somebody different than me. There's no two. There's just one. And one is a lonely number, as the song says. That's built into the essence of the Aleph, is the unity, the oneness, and the problem with oneness. Because you have two arms, one going up and one going down. They're not the same. All of this is built in a very short time as you look at the letter itself, as you look at what is it talking to you about. The Aleph has no sound of its own. Why? There are three letters that have no sound. Two of them have no sound, and one of them has no sound when it's at the end of the word. As we go through the alphabet, I'll explain which ones they are. It doesn't matter for this discussion. The Aleph has no sound. The Aleph was not used to start the Torah. Why?
Is it God? Why? Something
to say again, Bacha?
If it has the attribute of God, it's always we are adding God to us. So it's like you know, those are the things.
It's an excellent thought, and that is one of the reasons the sages have given us for why it has no sound. And just as we will always understand, there are 70 reasons why the Aleph has no sound. I don't know all of them. Is there somebody in the world who knows all of them? I don't even know that. But the more you know, the more you think about it, the more you look at this question, any question, to try and see the 70 different understandings and answers to that question, the more you broaden your consciousness, the more you expand your consciousness. And that's what Kabbalah helps us do. One of the reasons that we don't... I'm sorry?
The word Echad means one.
Echad means one, yes.
Echad, right?
Yes, it's spelled Aleph.
So that is
Galad.
That implies unity. Would that imply unity?
Well, you have to look at all three letters to imply unity. And we're not there. We won't be there till the eighth letter. So the Aleph is one.
Beautiful. Yeah.
The Aleph is one. The Chet is eight. I'm just looking at gematria, not shape. The Dalet is four. One plus eight plus four is 13. Why is 13 one?
It's the name of...
It's the name of what?
It's the name of God. It's the attribute of 13, attribute of mercy of God.
Very nice. Very nice. There are 13 attributes of mercy, which all are one, all from the level of Chachma. But it doesn't really explain why Echad is one.
But if you add to Echad Vav and Taf, it will be Yachdut.
nicer for one. If you
tell the people what Achdut means.
Achdut is unity. So if from one and you add, you know, the Vav and Taf, then you get unity. And I found it so beautiful. I mean,
You're right. But you're absolutely right. It is beautiful. When you understand that Vav and Taf represents the feminine form. So Achdut is unity from the female. You're adding the female to the male.
How nice.
Total beauty. Total beauty, total unity. But we haven't answered the question yet. Why is the Aleph not have no sound of its own? And that's because there is an Aleph in every other sound. Listen closely for the Aleph. Bay. Gi. Da. Hey. Wa. Before you can say a letter sound, you have to take an intake of air.
The breath
you take before you say a letter. This is the sound of the Aleph. It's not that it doesn't have a sound. It has the sound of air being taken into your body. You can't hear me. But that's the beauty of the Aleph. It's in every letter. And every letter is included in the letters to the left of them. But we'll go through that step by step. Look at the Aleph. Look at the Aleph. Then look at the Bet. How many strokes does it take for a scribe to make a bet?
Two?
Three. There's three vavs that make up a bet. The top one, the line at the top is a vav. The line coming down is a vav. The line at the bottom is a vav. There are three vavs to make up a bet. How many lines does it take to make up the Aleph?
Three.
Included in the Aleph is the Bets. They're just in a different shape.
Oh my gosh.
We haven't even talked about what words are included in the Aleph. And we'll do that next week. It's just so overwhelming and so beautiful and so awe-inspiring to see the power and the overwhelming unity that was created. It is said in the Zohar and other places that God played with the letters for 2,000 years before creation. By putting them into the order that they come, by giving them gematria, by changing their shapes, by making them be composed of other letters. The Aleph is composed of the Vav and the two Yuds. Every letter, when the scribe is taught to draw it, he is taught to first make a yud for every letter. And he is taught that if he draws that line, whatever line is we're talking about within the shape of any letter, if he is drawing that line the proper way, with the proper consciousness, it's a kosher letter. But if he, like when I write, I can write an N. Sometimes I form it by going down. Sometimes I form it by going up. Sometimes I make a diagonal one way or the other. It's not important to me. It's not. Yeah, I was taught one way, but I never followed it. I didn't know what the meaning was. But the scribes are taught very clearly when we're talking about the Hebrew language. If they make the line in the wrong direction, the energy of the letter is not going to be complete. This is the overwhelming beauty and power that we have to appreciate. Every letter starts with a yud. In the Aleph's case, it starts with three yuds. Because he's making the vav. He's making actually two vavs, but that's a different... We mentioned it. We can talk about it. I'm not teaching you the laws of being a scribe. They're complex. But those laws impact our understanding of the letters. So where that is, I will bring that as much as I'm capable of. Does anybody have any questions?
Hanoik, does every letter in the alphabet have 70 explanations?
Yes. Everything in the Torah has 70 understandings. The Ari even says that every letter in the Torah has 600,000 explanations, one for each root soul of the Jewish nation.
If we expand the 500 something for the crown times 22 for each letter times 5, is that where we get the 600,000?
No, we get the 600,000 from a totally different explanation.
Okay.
600,000, which is the amount of souls it takes to make up a nation, is the minimum amount of people that is necessary to provide for all of the needs of all of those people without going outside of the nation for help.
Got it.
But that's only one explanation or answer to your question. And there are 69 other answers.
You got a lot of job security, dude.
No, I just don't know them all. You know, I'm just telling you that. Go ahead, Joe. You were going to ask a question. You're breaking up. Say it again.
Okay. In order to verbalize a letter, it's required the
sound of the Aleph is the breath that you take inhaling before you say another letter. In order to say the letter bet, you first must inhale. That's the sound of the Aleph. It's included in the sound of the bet if you look at the total cycle of breathing. And breathing is very much part of meditation. Did I answer your question, Joe, or is it
breathing
still?
Breathing is God, so it's the Aleph job.
Breathing is God, very nice, yes.
So that's why you're stepping in always the Aleph, because that's the Ruach.
You're bringing in the spirit, you're bringing in the wind, you're bringing in the Ruach, as you say.
Yes. Okay.
And then when you exhale, you now are changing it to a sound of a letter. You're transforming the higher level of God into a lower level of communication. Any other questions?
Like these Kabbalists, ancient Kabbalists, they had the complete understanding of all the meanings of the language?
They had a greater understanding than we have. Whether they had a total understanding, I'm not sure that any one human being is capable of having a total understanding of God. But we as human beings, in totality, have the ability to understand God. But I hope I haven't confused you with that. I think it's the way to answer your question.
Yeah.
Bringing up discussion of announcements. Monday night is the 17th of Tammuz. Tuesday is the fast of the 17th of Tammuz for those who wish to do so. It's very important that you veil the energy through a meditation that the Ari gives us, and it's on the website. We spoke about it last week. It's under unique astrological events. Scroll down to the three-week period, and you'll see the meditations for the 3 weeks. Every night, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night, for those three-week periods, it is important, it's recommended that you study the temple, the third temple, the secrets of the third temple, the rebuilding of the third temple, which is different than the first two temples. We have a book that's been translated into English that I will be studying from 10 p.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights on the conference call. You're more than welcome to join me. You can find the book online for free in the azamra.org website. It's called, give me a second and I'll dig out the name. It's called Secrets of the Future Temple. The Hebrew word is Mishkanei Elyon, the Dwellings of the Supreme. It's a book written by the Ramchal, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, a famous, amazing Kabbalist, lived in the 1700s. It is on the website, as I said, Azamra, azamra.org. And I'll be studying with that from that the 9 days, three nights a week for the 3 weeks. You're more than welcome to join me. Are there any other questions?
It's a bit personal. I live on the ocean, so do I'm supposed to avoid it for those 3 weeks? Not to walk by it or just go inside? I know it's personal. I don't
want to take... No, it's a valid question that applies to everybody. You live by the ocean. Don't go into the ocean. If you go into the ocean to wash or bathe or swim, do it with people watching you and be very careful. It's
okay, but
recommended,
you can go for
recommended.
A walk next to...
Well, you can walk on the beach, but... Be careful.
Okay.
You know, you walk on the beach,
okay,
and the next thing you know, you have a tsunami, God forbid.
No, we know it. We don't go to the beach in Israel in those 3 weeks because we have the highest people that's drowning or facing
If we did statistics on accidents in that period, we would find that it was, you know, they've done it. It's very clear.
Yes.
So... But if you live by the beach, you know, you have to walk by it. It's understood.
Okay.
Any other questions? Have a beautiful 3 week period. It can be absolutely wonderful if you do the work properly.
Okay.
if you do the spiritual connections. I wish you all well. We'll speak
you.
Next Sunday, if
thank
not
you.
Before. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hello.